This is Made for You by All Souls, a church in Seattle, Washington, seeking to be a community not just for ourselves, but a vibrant expression of who God is, gracious, present, hospitable. Take a moment now to come as you are and bring your attention to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you know that I spent some time in Yemen as an adolescent. If you're not familiar with Yemen, Yemen is on the Arabian Peninsula, and it's just south of Saudi Arabia. And it's long been one of the poorest countries in the Middle East and among the poorest countries in the world. And when my family first arrived in Yemen, we had a tour guide that showed us around the capital city, told us, you know, how to go about getting our fruits and our vegetables and our meats, as well as how to use public transportation. And so on one of our first days in Yemen, we went to a fruit and vegetable market. And I'm curious, children, did any of you go to the farmer's market today? Well, I see you did. Okay. Have any of you been to the farmer's market, the West Seattle farmer's market? Yes. Okay, so you know what a farmer's market is like, right? So I was in this really big farmer's market. And one of the first things I noticed was how many people there were in the market asking for food and for money. And not only were there just people asking for food and money, I was particularly struck by children asking for food and for money. And then the next thing I noticed was that as kind of these children were swarming around us with their hands outstretched asking for food and money, our guide dismissed them with a simple gesture and two words. Our guide said, "Allah Karim," God is generous, and then continued walking. And we were instructed that while we were in Yemen, that was how we were to handle those who requested food and money from us. We were to lift up our hand and say, "Allah Karim, God is generous." And as a young girl, I found this experience deeply troubling. Telling people that God is generous and then walking away didn't sit very well. And it was in my middle school years that I began reading the Bible for myself. And this discomfort I felt with simply saying pious words started to make sense. I learned that God cares deeply about the poor, and that God's people are called to care for the poor too. I read the prophets and heard God's anger at the mistreatment of the widow, the orphan, and the refugee. I read about God's displeasure over the abuse of the vulnerable and God's call to a life of justice and mercy. I loved Micah 6:8. Maybe you memorized it too as a child. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And then I started to read stories about Jesus. And I saw that when Jesus was surrounded by a hungry crowd, Jesus didn't just hold up his hand and say, "Allah Karim." Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks to God for God's generous gifts, and then he fed the people with those gifts. He fed them and made sure that they didn't go away hungry. It was Jesus' tangible care for the man with the withered hand, the dead little girl, the woman with abnormal bleeding, the widow whose son had died, the blind, the lame, the demon-possessed that first made me want to follow Jesus. It was Jesus' life of justice, love and mercy that made me really want to follow him. So right now, we're making our way through the book of James. James, the brother of Jesus, is writing to followers of Jesus. And in our passage today, James is concerned because there are some in the community of believers who claim to have faith without visible faithful action. So there's some who think that it's possible to follow Jesus, the one who came announcing good news to the poor, and live a life that is dismissive of the poor. James says, no, faith is shown through deeds. The word action or activity is repeated 12 times in our passage today. And James uses the Greek word erga to refer to acts of mercy, charity, and kindness. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is asked, which is the greatest commandment of all? Children, do you remember what Jesus said? You can look back through your order of worship if you need to. What did Jesus say from our gospel reading? Charlotte? Yes, love the Lord your God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that all the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. And James understands erga as obedience to God's law of love, loving God with your whole being and loving your neighbor as yourself. And in the gospel according to Luke, Jesus was pressed on this word, neighbor. He was asked to clarify, who is my neighbor? And children, do you remember Jesus responded with a story? And I'm wondering if you can help me retell this story. So an expert of the law asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him this story. One day, a man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And during his travels, en route, do you remember what happens to the man? He's attacked, right? Do you remember what they do to him? You can call it out. He's beaten, his clothes are taken off of him, right? And he's just laying there. He's just left for dead. And then a priest happens down that road, right? A priest, somebody whose job it is to present God to the people and to present the people to God. And this person comes across the man, and what does he do? Do you remember? He walks on the other side, and he sees him, and he crosses on the other side. And then a Levite comes. So this is somebody who likely led worship, somebody who led God's people in songs of praise. And this person, this Levite, sees the man. And what does the Levite do? He does the same thing, right? He sees the man, and he crosses to the other side of the street. And then a Samaritan comes along the way. Somebody that has no religious position at all comes and sees the man. And what does the Samaritan do? He helps him. That's right. He bandages his wounds. He pays for a hotel stay and promises to come back and help the man. And do you remember Jesus then asked the expert, who is the one who acted as a neighbor? And do you remember what the reply was? Of the three people, the Samaritan, right? The one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now I wonder if James had this story in mind when he wrote to his brothers and sisters, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. James says, imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if one of you said, go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal? What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? In the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. James asks, how do words like stay warm to a person living on the street when it's 40 degrees, or have a nice meal to a person who has no money to go into QFC and buy food, fulfill God's command to love one's neighbor as oneself? Obviously, they don't. Faith is more than religious sounding words. As one of my children commented this week on the passage, he said, faith isn't just saying you believe in God. You show your faith in your actions. You can't just say you believe in God and then go around bullying or harassing people at school. That's not real faith. faith, James says, is shown through deeds of mercy. So Jesus commanded us to love one another. And Jesus gave us stories about love, like the Good Samaritan. And Jesus showed us what love looks like through his actions, healing sick bodies, feeding hungry stomachs, lifting up the lowly, and giving up his own body. As a young professional, I was eager to heed Jesus' call to go and do likewise. I knew the command, the stories, the example, and my question was, Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? I had lots of ideas for Jesus. Maybe Jesus wanted me to work on ending human trafficking. Maybe Jesus wanted me to put a stop to child marriage in the Middle East. Or maybe Jesus wanted me to be a diplomat and negotiate peace deals for him. As I reflect on my eagerness, I'm aware that in all of these scenarios, I was the subject. Somewhere along the way, I picked up some faulty thinking that I was at the center of the acts of mercy. I thought that I could do acts of mercy on my own without Jesus. I had heard Jesus say, "Go and do likewise," but I had failed to hear Jesus say, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so tonight, before we hear James's admonishment that faith without acts of mercy is dead, we need to hear his reminder in chapter 1, verse 21. In chapter 1, verse 21, James reminds the community of the word that is planted in them. James uses the phrase implanted word. The phrase implanted word echoes a promise made through the prophet Jeremiah. God promised that a day was coming when God would put God's law in their minds and write it in their hearts. The law of love would be put in them by God. Similarly, through the prophet Ezekiel, God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law." God gives us new hearts through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Word, who perfectly fulfilled God's law of love, has been planted in the believer. Is that an image you've spent much time with? Jesus planted in you. You are implanted with Jesus. In John's gospel, Jesus tells the disciples that he will ask the Father to send a helper who will be with them forever. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will come on them, and then the disciples will realize that Jesus is in the Father and that they are in Jesus and Jesus is in them. If you are a baptized follower of Jesus, you have received the Holy Spirit and Jesus has been planted in you. Jesus, the implanted word, shapes and transforms. James says, accept, welcome, receive the word planted in you. To welcome the implanted word is to be transformed by Jesus. The implanted word is transforming us to look more and more like Jesus. If we are welcoming the implanted word, we will be people who feed the hungry, clothe the naked, befriend the lonely, heal the sick, because that's the ministry of the implanted word. The implanted word allows us to see God's gifts are not for hoarding. The implanted word enables us to use the gifts that God has given us to care for those who are most in need. Faithful acts of mercy are grounded in the implanted word. Faithful acts of mercy are Jesus's ministry. Jesus's ministry that we are invited to join. Daily, we are invited to have Jesus's ministry of mercy flow through us. Flow through us in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. And daily, we need to be reminded that Jesus has been planted in us. In James 1, we're given the image of a mirror. So James gives us the image of a mirror, and then he tells us about a person who looks at themselves in the mirror and then quickly forgets what they look like. This scenario tracks for me. I've logged some time in front of the mirror. And when I was in high school, in particular, my dad was very concerned about the amount of time I spent in front of the mirror. He often asked me if I spent more time with my hairbrush than with Jesus. And I think it's possible to do both. I want to say that. But so, in those days, my hair was very important to me, and a bad hair day meant a bad day. So I would dry my hair, get all the stray hairs in place, spray it all, look in the mirror, walk away, and then quickly walk back, just in case anything had changed. Within a few seconds, I could forget what my hair looked like and need another check. I am prone to forget. I'm prone to forget who it is that's been planted in me. I'm prone to forget who it is that wants to work through me and live through me. James writes in chapter 1, verse 25, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." I'm invited to daily look intently at the perfect law that gives freedom. Ashley Matthews talked about the law that gives freedom 2 weeks ago. It's God's perfect law of love that frees us to serve God. God's perfect law of love has been put in us through Jesus, the implanted word. Paul says that it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. This freedom is for loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. This freedom is for allowing Jesus' mercy ministry to flow through us. When I look intently at the perfect law that gives freedom, I see the one who has perfectly fulfilled the law, the one who gives freedom, the one who desires to live through me. I'm learning to allow my mirror practices to help me to look at Jesus. As I look in the mirror in the morning, I'm learning to ask Jesus to work through me. Children, I believe that your teachers handed you a little bag. Do you have your bag? Okay. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to open up your bag, and I'm going to ask you if you'll do some things with me. Do you think you could do that? Okay. So first, I want you to look in your bag for a mirror. Got the mirror? Okay, now I want you to open it up. Got it open? Now I want you to look at yourself in the mirror. You see yourself? Okay. I want you to look at yourself. You are looking at someone who is beloved. You are looking at a face that God created and that God loves. And because of Jesus, God's love can never be taken away from you. God wants to pour his love into you, and God wants to show his love through you. Now, I'd like you to look in your bag for a little spray bottle. Do you see it? Okay, so your spray bottle is empty. Mine has some facial mist. When you get home, you could ask your parents if you could put some water in them, maybe, and then you could maybe store them in the bathroom or somewhere that your parents decide is appropriate, okay? But for now, I'm going to ask you to pretend to spray your face, okay? Can you spray your face with me? Okay. So in the morning, when I spray my face and the liquid gently touches my face, I say, "Thank you, God, for being the one who restores, renews, and refreshes me And then I say a simple prayer like, Jesus, let your refreshment flow through me. Children, could you pray that prayer with me? Jesus, let your refreshment flow through me. And now can you find, there should be some hand lotion. Do you see the hand lotion in there? Okay. And if you want, you can open it up and you can put a little bit on your hands. So I have eczema on my hands, and in the winter months, my hands get really cracked and dry and sometimes bleed, and I have to put a lot of lotion on them. So in the morning, when I'm standing in front of the mirror and I put lotion into my hands, I thank God for being the one who heals. And I remember that it's through Jesus' wounds that I have been healed, and I pray a simple prayer like, Jesus, let your healing flow through me. Children, could you pray that prayer with me? Jesus, let your healing flow through me. And then before I leave the bathroom, I often put on some perfume. You'll find a little bit of perfume in your bag. There's a little tissue too if you need a little help getting it open. So if you want, you can smell the perfume. You can dab a little bit on your wrist, maybe put a little on your neck if you like. And as I smell the perfume, I'm reminded that God desires for the fragrance of Christ to be spread through me. And that I have the invitation to smell like Jesus and to allow others to smell Jesus' smell of healing and of restoration. And then I pray a simple prayer like, Jesus, may your fragrance flow through me. Children, could you pray that with me? Jesus, may your fragrance flow through me. As I am learning to look more intently at Jesus and to ask more intentionally for Jesus to flow through me, I'm learning to see opportunities for God's mercy to flow through me in everyday life situations. So when I'm at the grocery store and have the opportunity to provide a compassionate listening ear to a neighbor enduring a trial, or when I take the dog for a walk and have the opportunity to provide a moment of connection with a neighbor who lives alone and works from home, or when I go to the cold weather shelter that's just down the street from my house and have the opportunity to prepare a meal for hungry neighbors. As I look intently at Jesus, I'm learning to look for and welcome opportunities for Jesus' mercy to flow through me. God plants Jesus in us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are freed and we are shaped and we are transformed for acts of mercy. We're invited to have mercy flow through us. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God provides the strength required to act justly and to love mercy. God provides the strength and the power to join in God's work of renewal in this world. God provides the strength and the power for Christ to work through us. Lord, may your mercy flow through us.